Hey guys, welcome back to episode 5 of Calculated Chaos. Today I'm here with Gary Moscarelli and Jack McKenna. You've seen Jack from episode 1.
How's it going, guys?
So yeah, we're going to get straight into conversation. So we were starting with...
We were kind of mid-conversation, and this mad bastard over here shows me that he's got an iPod from 2004. And it's so ghetto. I love it. Like, Jesus. You know Floyd Mayweather has one of these?
No way.
He does, and he has it all diamond out, but he has one of these. And it's probably for the same reason.
Yeah, because Jack was saying this,
because like, if you're working out, you don't want... like to be the distraction of your phone. So he just like uses this. It's amazing. Look at this shit.
Yeah.
This reminds me of my cousin.
Because it's terrible, because I know so many guys, and I'm guilty for it as well. When you're in the gym and you have your phone on you and you get a notification like, I need to do this, need to do that. Yeah. And like you just end up, you just kind of lose like 15, 20 minutes easy just on your phone.
Yeah.
You know,
and the momentum's gone, and that's the most important thing, maintaining.
And then you're like, oh, sure, I've lost the momentum. I've done enough. And then you just leave. Whereas you've that, all you have is music, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's like, photos on as well. I have memes like literally on.
What?
Yeah, no, you don't.
No, I do.
Hold on, can I just? Oh, you do.
Like, no, there's some dodgy stuff. Now, I didn't. Be careful.
We won't show that. Show the camera.
No joking.
But it's unbelievable. Like, you know when?
That's fantastic, man. That's honestly fantastic.
Oh my god, it actually does have a photo. Back in 2004, I didn't even know things
could do that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a picture of a motorbike. this kid, no, he's like my brother's best childhood.
Gang.
Jesus Christ.
But Steve Jobs, when they're actually making the prototype for the iPod Classic, second generation, which is this, all the engineers would come back to him with prototypes, you know?
Yeah.
And he would take them in his hand and he would drop them into a bucket of water. And he would check if bubbles came out. And if bubbles came out, that means there's space. So he would say to him, make it smaller. And each engineer, they brought back a shit ton. I shouldn't be swearing, sorry. They brought back a load of prototypes, you know?
Hmm.
And he just kept saying, make it smaller. And eventually, this one I have in my hand now, dropped, sunk to the bottom, stayed there, not a single air bubble.
That's class.
That's crazy. I never heard that story before.
That's like the level of work and detail he's putting in. That's why Apple's so successful.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand, if you know what I mean. Like, people think that, like, especially when, if you want to change the world, whether for a good way or to make money, it doesn't matter. You have to put in world-changing, psychotic effort. It's not like, oh, I had this idea and I tried really hard and it didn't work, so who gives a shit? Of course it's not going to work the first time. Of course it's going to all go downhill. Of course your whole plans are going to get hit by a freaking bus a million times.
Mm.
But you have to keep going and going and going and going psychotically. And it doesn't matter. You could say this 1,000 times to 1,000 people.
Mm.
But normal people can't comprehend this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were saying before the podcast started, that if you want to do anything in life, it's very unfortunate. You have to have demons. You have to have very you have to have bad things have had to happen to you in your past life. And it's a horrible thing. And like, it's such a like a complex that your parents, their whole job of their life is trying to make your life as easy as possible. But if they do that, you're not going to achieve great things.
Ordinary.
I know people are probably going to get mad. Like, what do you mean you can't achieve great things? Like, oh, my parents gave everything for me and I'm here and I'm in college, I'm doing great. Yeah, that's fine. That's ordinary. You're supposed to do that. That's amazing. But you're not going to you're not going to become heavyweight champion of the world. You're not going to go to the moon. And it's not your fault. But you have to have demons to achieve things.
It's
the same in comedy. It's the same in comedy. You can't be funny. You have to be maniacal.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible things have to happen to you for good things to happen.
Yeah, because like even Joe Rogan, like I know we both listen to him a lot, and like he was saying that like as a kid he had a really like a tough upbringing, like not a lot of money, but he also got molested. You know, as in, like very.
I love that story. That is so funny.
this kind of older man kind of befriended him and then took him fishing one day
and like started sending him letters saying like he loves him and stuff like this.
And Joe was like what 11, 12?
Yeah.
I think at the time.
What's Joe reacting to that like?
Like Joe was like I was so like he didn't realize obviously at the time he didn't realize how close he was to MLS because he was too young, but like looking back he was like I would never want my kids anywhere near that, like, you know. But like the same with like we're talking, like, I think we start with this MMA fighters, doesn't like you know the elite of the elite, like you have to have inner demons, like to get into a cage and want to beat the shit out of another man and like hurt another person just so you can become the best.
It's the mindset. It's a mindset. You have to be absolutely broken to do great things. Because it's broken people that act irrationally and do different things, if you know what I mean. Like, and I'm so like open in saying it, like what my dad died when I was 2.5, you know what I mean? I moved to Ireland when I was 6, if you know what I mean. Like, dropped into a school, a primary school in Western Ireland with this shit, like, high-pitched American accent. Of course, everyone had a fucking field.
You're Italian, though?
No? I'm Italian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone had a field. Corleones.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone had a field. Like, I can happily say, I was bullied out the door till I was in third year. Bad, like. Jesus. And then I just, one day, I remember, it was actually, we were talking about TY. I remember going into TY and all, like, it was a mixture that, because it was just me and mom in the house, because I'm an only child, A, I'd been talking to adults my entire life, and B, because I had been getting shit for so long, I kind of knew how it worked. So then I was like, I'm just going to start being an ass to everyone that was being an ass to me.
Yeah.
And you find out, a lot of people think they're made of glass, and they might look like they're made of concrete, but the minute you give some person one thing back, they're done. They're absolutely done. That's how you stand up for yourself. Someone says something to you, you say it back, and you say the most twisted shit back to them, they're not going to mess with you again. Oh my God. When I go on a night out in Galway, I'm a very happy person when I'm on a night out. And if someone randomly just wants to start a fight because whatever their inner problems, I'll look them dead in the eye and I'll say, man, you're so gorgeous, man. Oh, I just want to kiss you.
Oh,
and then they're like tensing up and they're getting so mad. I'm like, oh man, don't do that to your pretty face. And it's literally because I learned it's a defense mechanism for myself.
Yeah.
All the shit that's happened to me, it's just that, like, if something's going irrationally, go even further. Be the most irrational person you can.
Yeah.
And when I get into a routine, that's when I freak out. That's like what I was talking about. We're talking about EcoBricks, this thing that I make that all soft plastic in Ireland cannot be recycled. Even if you put it in the recycling bin, it's still going to go either into the ocean or the landfill just because of the system they have. It's really bad. So I had this idea. Well, I didn't have this idea, but someone told me about this idea that if you get 2-liter bottles of fizzy drinks and you stuff them really, really hard with soft plastics, you can send them to a place that sends them to Africa and they build houses with them. So it takes people out of poverty and it recycles them and it keeps all the crap out of the ground and out of the ocean. So instead of thinking like a normal, rational human being, that, like, sure, I'll just make a few at home, it's great, you know, do my bit, I called the area manager of the store that I work at, who has all, we're in the Diesel Gang, actually, merch, not in bio, please don't buy these clothes, they're horrible. But, I called the area manager of Diesel, and he's over all the stores in Ireland that are outside of Dublin, and I was like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm just Christmas staff in Diesel. Can I have control of all of the plastic that comes out of Diesel? It's literally like 2 tons a week, because we get so many shipments in, it's all soft plastic and clothes. And he was like, yeah, man, you have it. So now I take all the plastic out of Diesel. These huge, big fucking bags of plastic. Tons of plastic are in my fucking...
Just in your room
in
or something. Room. Oh, what?
And yeah, in the room. And he's like, I sit there like a freaking sociopath stuffing fucking bottles all night. That's what I do all night.
Oh, my
just,
God.
Just all night. Just thinking about shit.
Wait, like, I have to see that.
Yeah. I'm documenting it.
That's like a proper TLC, the learning
channel. Oh, for real? That's
you told me this earlier, and I think he knows I went very quiet. He was like, yeah, I'm fucking insane.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Those tons and tons of plastic are now going to be recycled, and now I've made a difference. That's not going to go in the ocean, that's not going to go in the ground, and whatever.
Yeah.
I may not sleep for a week, I may go completely insane, but at least you've made your difference, because when people say, oh, I did my bit, or like, every little helps, that's such bollocks, who cares? I volunteered once, and then, you know, I talked about it loads, and oh, it's so sad this shit happens in the world, blah, 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 when you do little things, I'm sorry, it doesn't make a difference. You have to be completely psychotically addicted to what you want to do to make a difference.
Yeah.
What's the point of just joining in on something? Why don't you want to be the best and be the person that makes the change, though? Why don't you, like, why do you want to say, oh, I patted the guy in the back that did it, and I felt really good about myself. Then I got a tattoo that said, live life, love, and environment, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus, I hate those people. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to rant over.
No, it's fair enough, because you can see, like, as we talked this in your podcast a couple weeks ago, like you're super passionate about it, and, like it's good that you've actually found it, because, like, I know most people our age are like, geez, I don't know what I want to do in my life. You know, and, like, it's fair enough, because, like, obviously, like, Gary Vee's always posting this, like, you know, at 17, 18, 19, you're not supposed to have all this shit figured out, you know, as in, like, most 30-year-olds don't have this shit figured out. But, you know, the fact that you found something so passionate, and, like, Jack, you found your videography, photography and stuff, you know, and I found out, like, I love business. Like, it's cool that we're kind of working towards that at a young age, which actually gives us advantage over most other people. Like, a person who discovers at 25 that they love videography, photography, Jack's gonna be fucking a million miles ahead of them because you've been doing this since you were really young, you know.
Well, yeah, everyone wishes they started earlier, but it's just about finding that.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And to find that,
yeah,
what do? You just say,
just try shit. Like that, that's what Gary's always saying. Like literally, like, you know, so many young people ring him up and go, "Here, I'm so lost in life. I don't know what I want to do. Blah blah blah." He's like, "Here, take 5 years, spend 6 months at each job, try shit.
Yeah,
and then and then eventually you'll be like, geez, I want to do this for the rest of my life, and then just go after it." Because like, even I was even talking to Dad on the way in about this. He was saying that like people are like are going to the guidance counselor for, you know, what career they want, and they're like, "I kind of like maths." I know one of the guys, he walked in, kind of like maths, walked back out, I'm going to become an actuary. Like, "Do you want to actually do that?" And he went, "It's good money in it." I'm like,
"Yeah."
You know, he likes maths, but I just don't totally agree with the whole system of, like, you need to find this college course and you need to try to make as much money as possible. You know,
it breaks my heart when you hear someone and they're like, "Oh, no, I'm going to do this because I'll definitely get a job out of college and I'll have good money and that kind of stuff." I'm like, "Man, that's so sad." Like, do you not in a condescending way, but that just kind of makes me sad that, like, imagine. When you finish uni, you just like stop having fun and you're like, "All right, if I work this day and have this amount of money, I'm gonna go on holidays with my kids and this is what it's gonna be like."
Mm.
I don't want any of that. That linear lifestyle terrifies me, but it's a great thing. Most people like it, just the way that I am. I could never work in a job that's like every single day doing the same thing or have a boss or do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like you need, like, well, me personally, I need to be terrified. I need to not know where I'm going.
Mm.
Like, I always think, like, I always feel like the safest place to be is when you have no control and you're just fucking sprinting down a corridor and it's completely dark and you have no idea if the wall's gonna be right there, but you're going fucking 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And if you hit the wall and you stop, you're like, "All right, fair enough, I'll just run back that way." There's no point knowing exactly where you're going. You're like, "Oh, sure, when I'm 60, I'm gonna retire, then I'll have this and that." Like, that's so scary, if you know.
Yeah.
But what you were saying is, it's really cool what you said, Jack, that, like, people that don't know what they wanna do, I always feel like that's such an exciting time because you can do everything you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and
opportunity is there.
And if you're good at what you do, people will notice, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Because just, I said it to Jack when he walked in. One of the videos Jack made, I watch it all the time. It should be sent to Discover Island. It's the best tourism video I've ever seen in my entire life. No, of all, not on YouTube, anything I've ever seen on TV, anything. It is so sick.
I'll link it down below if anyone wants to go watch it.
No, it is so, man, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Even
thank
like,
you.
Like, just because your talents you have in everyday life are in the video, like, you're able to skate and stuff like that, and that's in it. It is so cool. You know the bit when, like, the lightning comes out of the back of the skateboard?
Yeah.
Fuck it up, man.
Yeah. No, that's, I love making that video. That was one of the best days of my life. Like, that was unbelievable. Connemara, incredible place. But that just doesn't feel like work to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That, like, I was working. I put a shit ton of hours into that. I worked my tits off on that video, you know? But, like, that didn't feel like work. I was loving it 100%. Nothing was stopping me.
Yeah.
So if you just find what you do, all chips in, nothing will stop you. That's the goal in life. It really is a beautiful thing. Like, once you find something you truly love, nothing will stop you.
And, like, I know you haven't brought it up, you're talking about it after, like, not having a linear lifestyle. Tell them about what your plan is with the bus, you know, once you make a few quid.
Oh, well, yeah. You'd be in on this. Yeah. Everyone's in on this. I completely agree with the linear lifestyle, but, like, I'm only 16, what do I know? But
you agree with having the linear lifestyle?
No, I agree with your opinion on it.
Yeah.
But I think routine is very good in the cases of fitness and, like, sustainable kind of working. If you're making a video every week, that's sustainable, that's a routine. But then obviously you need time to, if you want to do a trip, like a spontaneous trip, you need time for spontaneity. You need time for life, like, because it just steps in out of nowhere, you know?
Mm.
But are you on about routine, like, throughout life, or just kind of weekly routine?
Like, what I believe is Monday to Friday, you can have a schedule of shit you want to do.
Yeah.
But it's like, that schedule is like, you're sitting down on Sunday, and you have one, my whole thing is like, the only schedule I have is I have one goal, that it's not 100 years down the line, and it's not tomorrow, it's just, it's like nearly, how to describe it, it's just like in front of my eyes all the time. It's what I want to do. And it's like wildlife conservation, I want to save the world, that's what I want to do. Then every single day when I wake up, it's kind of like, what can I do? What's the most ridiculous, huge steps I can make to achieve that, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then one of those steps can be, sitting down on Sunday and planning 3 weeks of rigorous schedules of shit that I have to do.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. But it's not like, this is what I do every single day, all the time. It's like,
yeah.
I sit down on Sunday and I write these, like, when I have schedules, it's like, they're not sustainable. It's like, if I do this for 3 weeks, I'll have like 4 hours of sleep in these 3 weeks, but I will do it and I'll have all of this achieved. Then I can sit down for like 2 days, like, all right, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
And then go.
Yeah.
It's like, what I'm kind of thinking, it's let's say we're all running a marathon. My technique is sprint as fast as you can, stop for a minute, breathe, figure out what's going on. Sprint as fast as you can. Like, if you run a marathon, even on your own, just
go stop,
because it's so much more funner that way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
about
yeah.
People can say methodically you can chip away at things, but I'm methodically chipping away at this thing.
Yeah.
But, like, instead of hitting it with a pin knife, I'm just fucking going at it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you got to stop and get the lactic acid out of your muscles for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Go again,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But,
No, I think, whatever works for yourself, obviously, but then there's the standard routine, like, throughout life, which is you're born, you go to school at 18. I reckon I base everything off out of 100%. So we're going to live to what? We're 90, like, or something.
Yeah. 90 to 100, yeah, probably.
90 to
100,
yeah. Let's just say 100. And when you're only 18 years old, you're 18% through life.
Yeah.
And you're forced to make a decision that's going to dictate
the rest of your life.
The next, what, 72% of your life.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, like... But that's just batshit crazy.
Yeah, totally disagree with that.
Crazy.
Yeah,
and then you make that decision, and if it's the wrong decision, well then you're caught in a loop, and you can't get out of it. It's just batshit crazy.
But don't you think that I was thinking about this? Everyone, I think the system should change in some ways. That in schools it should allow people to be more creative and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But genuinely, I was thinking about it. Really thinking about it, because I've talked about that exact topic so many times, and I've always had that exact thing, like, oh, let's change it all so everyone can do everything. But guess what? A lot of people have to do that shit. A lot of people don't have a passion. Let people go and have their structure. Let people go do their commerce course and then work in a shop. And not that's a bad thing at all. Like, work the way up and be a manager or even a CEO or do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
Because the only people that can benefit from what you're talking about are people like you that understand that.
Mm.
And, like, you should be very happy right now that you understand that, and you're leaps and bounds above everyone that doesn't understand that, and you don't want that to change. You don't want the people down here, the system, to change.
Yeah.
So you both start off here.
Yeah.
You don't want the system
yeah.
to bring them up to you. Now that you know that you're not, that you're starting, that you've only have 18% of your life through, and this is not that big a deal, you are so much further, like, mentally and spiritually
yeah.
ahead of them.
Yeah.
Why would you want them to come up there?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like? Yeah, because, like, a lot of, like, I know for us, like, let's say most of us, like, have a good idea what we want to do, right? But I know, like, 85% of people have still no idea, and school is their thing, as in, like, they're like, I need to get a good leaving cert so I can go to college, get a good degree, and get a good job. And you know what? Most people are going to end up like that. You know, like, as in the I think it's kind of upsetting that some people are going to go through their whole life hating Monday to Friday, living for the weekends, and that's going to be 60 years of their life. But, like, I know for me, my attention's been taken off school. I think both of us, since the company started, because we're like, this is great potential.
Yeah.
We love doing this. It's really good fun. And yet, it's like we're providing a good service to companies. Whereas all the people who don't have that outside of school, they can put 5 hours a night of studying in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's their thing right now. And, like, all the power to them. But, like, at the moment, my attention is just not there. And,
yeah.
like, I don't think for either of us,
yeah.
you know.
That's because it's not your thing, though.
Yeah.
But, like, if you, well, my whole thing is, I'd never, even though you're talking about how bad the system is, if you are in secondary school, don't take this and be like, oh, yeah, that was so inspiring. Fuck school. And what are you doing then, though? You're just sitting at home.
Yeah.
Scratching your ass and playing the PlayStation because you think the system's bad. No, if you're in school, and
yeah, your videos. Oh my god, dude, the system fucked me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And if you're not doing, if you're not doing anything,
yeah,
then put your wholeheartedly into school. That's what I did. I studied like 7 hours every single day after leaving school, and I still knew that it really wasn't going to do anything for me.
Mm.
But why? Don't be lazy. Like, do your shit.
Yeah.
Like, perform as best as you can. Your parents are probably paying for you to be there in secondary school. Do your shit. Like,
yeah. No,
but
absolutely.
If you have whatever your shit may be, if your shit is a company, do your shit.
Yeah.
If your shit is school, do your shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? If you're trying to be a fighter, do your shit. Like,
but, like, I feel like people are giving out, like, let's say they're in school, right, and they're doing, let's say, after study for 2 hours. So they're in school from, let's say 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the evening, right? That's
That's 7 hours. Like, from the minute you wake up and then you get home and you're settled.
Yeah.
For me, that's like 7 hours.
Yeah.
7 or 8.
So 9, 3, that's 9 hours. You're in school, let's say, for 9 hours. Yeah, let's say 9 hours, right?
Yeah.
So you're gonna be awake for 18 hours. So yeah. What are you doing for the rest of the time? You know, yeah. As in, like, I feel like people are like, oh, I'd love to get after this. I'd love to, like, pursue my passion, but I have no time. I'm so, like, school's taken up. But, like, if you break down hour by hour what exactly you're spending your time on, you'll find that you're leaving hours on the table, left, right, and center. And I know I catch myself doing it as well. Like, you know, you lose 20 minutes here on your phone. You lose 40 minutes here watching TV, you know. And, like, those start clocking up, and then a whole day's gone. You know, like...
Have you ever seen... Did you ever think... You've never heard of someone like Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan... Cristiano Ronaldo, Conor McGregor, these people, you never heard, they didn't achieve these incredible things by, like, okay, so I worked for an hour every single day after lunch, and then I got my 8 hours sleep, and it was great, and I worked nice and hard for those 4 hours every single day. No, they're the type of people you hear Michael Jordan would be on the court at 4 a.m, just shooting the same shot over and over, 4 a.m, and then he'd probably sleep till 11 a.m. get up and then do it all again. And that's what I meant, that you have to be nuts.
Obsessive.
You have to be nuts. Yeah. You have to be absolutely nuts with what you are doing.
Yeah.
Like, whether it be, it's Cristiano Ronaldo at 4 a.m. in his house doing kikiuppies, whether it be Conor McGregor after working an 11-hour shift as a plumber coming home and doing 10 rounds in the gym that he used to do every single day, whether it be me losing my mind packing plastic fucking bottles in my room at 2 a.m. than I was last night.
Yeah.
But whatever it be, just do your shit and do it.
Yeah.
And even if you think about it, anything worth doing, you know, they say it's only worth doing cool. The story's better if you're up at 2 a.m, you're doing that shit, because then it's going to work out. You know what I mean? Like, I always feel like you should be the main, your life, you should act like you're the main character in your own movie.
Yeah.
And every single thing you do, that's my whole thing. It's every single thing I do, what would you want the main character to do?
Yeah.
If you're, like, doing your shit, even if you're, like, studying and it's, like, 11 o'clock and you're like, oh, I'm tired. If you're watching that movie, do you want the guy just to go to bed and give up and then kind of do shit in the test the next day? Or do you want him to, like, stop practicing? No, you don't.
Yeah. The only thing that you touched on there is, the only thing is, I know me and Jack had this conversation a couple of days ago about burnout. And that is a legit thing. As in, like, I know me and him are both feeling at the moment, like, we're trying to balance school and everything. As in, like sleeping 4 hours for, like, a couple of weeks is, like, you'll get a shit ton done, but then you're just done. As in, like. I know with the leavings there, it's kicking the shit out of me at the moment. And, like, trying to, like, study as much as I can and then try and do the company and then try and make YouTube videos and all. Like,
it's rough. It's really bad. Yeah. And it's, like, it clicks a primal thing in you that when you say you're done, that it's literally your body will make you think, all right, no, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But it's people like high-level athletes, definitely, that, like, Tiger Woods is the perfect example. When you feel that, it nearly has to be, when you hear no, just say next, and you go on to the next thing. And, like, sleep is, like, an extremely important thing and not to burn out. But I'm not intelligent enough to apprehend that. And, like, what you guys are saying, I would take their advice. Do not burn out. But just myself, when I get psychotic about things, it is, like, I nearly feel guilty. Like, right now, since I was 6, I felt guilty that I'm not doing enough. I didn't even know. I always knew what it was. It was always why that conversation. But it was, like, I'm not doing enough. And, like, I'll, like, chip away at the guilt when I do some stuff. But then if I don't do stuff for, like, 2 days, I'm kind of, like, shaking again.
Yeah.
And it comes again. You go and you go and you go. Like, and that's just what I want to do until, like, eventually, I don't know, tap out. Like,
I'm the exact same. I don't know if you're probably the same. Like, as, like, if I'm sitting down doing nothing, like, just, like, eating or something, I'm like, geez, the stuff I need to do. Stuff
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. It's, but that's just in my DNA. Like, dad's a businessman.
Yeah.
Mum's very successful. And then the brothers are working their tits off as well. Like, everyone around me is doing stuff. So what's the point? Why am I not?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's incredible, though. That's something a lot of people don't have.
Mm. Yeah.
So while you guys have it, fucking own it and
go
100% in that.
No, absolutely. And I'm so looking forward to, like, June 21st. I have a date saved. Once that last exam is over, I can't wait to go all in on that company and just, like we're doing, like, basically part-time hours at the moment, and we're getting a bit of traction. As in, like, it's slow growth, but it's growth.
Yeah.
But we were just saying there, like, imagine we were putting in
100%.
100% day in, day out. Imagine what sort of progress we would make. It would be insanity, you know. So we're waiting to that moment when, like summer hits and we're able just to go 110% into this, you know, because like you, Gary V's always on about like if you've been working a 9-to-5 job, you come home, spend 2 hours with your kids from 7 to 2, you can be working a full hour a day, you know, as in like you can literally do a work day, two work days, and like and then eventually you should try and get your side hustle is making the same money. Like I know Rob lives to talk about this. He was saying like he was working his normal job and doing the YouTube on the side. But then when YouTube started making as much money as his normal job, he was like, "What's the point of working my shitty job?" You know, got rid of that, and now he's a full time, you know, YouTuber slash influencer. You know, so like,
do you think there's a difference between a YouTuber and an influencer?
We had this conversation the last day.
Like I don't like Rob Lipson. I can't watch his freaking videos because he's shit. Like, all he does is he just plays the algorithm. It's so bad. Like I know so many people like that. Like where I think social media is for connecting with people and being creative, if you know what I mean. And power to him. What a fucking dude. He's making so much money. I have so much respect for him. I have no empathy. Fucking amazing. Power to him and all that.
Yeah.
But fucking hell, like you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like then, like just those shit posts where it's like if something goes like really virally trendy, he'll put it in his caption and like they're really bad. Like he took a photo. I literally nearly like yeeted myself off my house when I saw him. I saw him in the
to say it as you're about to go, like
I was reading his caption and it was back when like Weird Flex But Okay was like a caption. It was just a picture of him flexing in the mirror and his caption was Weird Flex But Okay and all these hashtags and I was like, please die immediately.
I think definitely the fitness industry in Ireland is incredibly saturated.
Oh, it's so saturated.
Incredibly saturated.
Yeah, crazy. Like, everyone wants to be a fitness influencer. But, like, again, we were talking about this. What gives you the right to call yourself an influencer and put you in front of people and go, here, I'm going to do this, you better all do it as well. You know, as in, like why should they care what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're not, you have no talent. This is a bit harsh, but most have no talent. You know, there's no message, there's no kind of, like...
There's no creativity.
Exactly. Like, as in, like, when you're putting out content, there should be either...
They're following the diagram that everyone else set out that if you do this certain things, like, all they're looking for is sponsors. And, like with creative people on YouTube, like... PewDiePie, YouTubers, Quico, they nearly cringe when they have to do a sponsored ad.
Yeah.
But Irish influencers, that's like their favorite thing. When you get sponsored, that's like, oh, it's such a flex. Like, it's like, oh, hashtag ad. Oh, this is the new teeth whitening thing.
High smile.
And I'm like, God. Like,
yeah.
No, I think I don't want to get any backlash on this, but I think the word influence is a load of bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Imagine putting... Like the Corleones, they're cool.
Yeah.
You know, they are cool and they're badass, but they never told people that they're cool.
Yeah.
That they're badass. They just were.
Yeah.
So
people wanted to follow.
Yeah.
You're just doing your own shit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and that's what
it
should be, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, if you say
you're not a badass if you say you're badass.
So if you have influencer, that little grey text
on your Instagram.
And you're
or
just
public figure.
Yeah.
And like
public
when you're
figure. You just it's just a question of value, and
mine says scientist, but whatever.
yeah. Video creator here. And
I'm a personal blogger. I'm just literally documenting my journey, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you want to get in on the fitness industry these days, like I don't know much about it, but you just got to do something crazy, unique.
Yeah,
and that's where the danger comes in with like Jake and Logan Paul, how they were doing crazy stuff.
Yeah. They those guys,
geniuses.
They hit
geniuses.
Like the algorithm of how to make money on the internet incredibly. I can respect that in the way that like I'm not a money guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm so bad at it because I have no concept of it, if you know what I mean. Like, as in like, I remember, you know people like 600 euro is a lot of money to people.
Mm.
I remember I had 695 euro in my bank account and it was when I was in Thailand, I told you this. And I was supposed to go for 2 weeks and then the girl I was over there with looked at me and she said, you're hardly just staying for 2 weeks, stay for the month. That day, I got a tattoo and I spent 695 euro to extend my flights just for those extra 2 weeks. And I didn't even think about it. It's just numbers to me. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, as long as I can feed myself, pay rent, and be happy, I don't care.
Yeah.
And like, but the thing is, money's great. You need money. I need all the money in the world if you want to change the world. If you know
what
I mean. That's what you need, but I want to do good things.
With
it. What good is a fast car? or like a gold-plated toilet to me. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What, like, that's why all SoundCloud rappers just like end up like crashing their Ferraris, looking at their mouth full of Percocets, like, because they're not fucking happy. Like,
no,
it's
absolutely.
So true.
But yeah, that's where I'm on about the electric bikes and stuff.
Yeah.
He
built an electric bike.
Give contact here.
Yeah.
Insane.
No.
People are so
it's unbelievable. I've seen it. Like, he's literally, he showed me the last one. I was like,
how did you make it? Tell me how you made it.
So, no, I had this old mountain bike, and so I stripped it apart. What's that word? Basically sanded it down.
Yeah.
Resprayed it black. Matte black. Just clean. For your first prototype, make everything matte black, because then you can decide the colors well after. But I know, like, I've seen all these laws, like, by 2025, all catalytic converters are gone. Everything must be electric. No gas, no petrol, no diesel cars on the roads in Denmark or something. In Ireland, it's like 2029 or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, why the fuck are people still making, like, Honda? Why are they still making petrol cars? Why are they still doing everything with fossil fuels? You need, while the market is very new, like a baby, you need to jump in and start making electric stuff.
Yeah.
So I made this electric bike. Oh yeah, definitely. Like, this is gonna be another business. I have two proposed. Like,
what would be a price range? How much does it cost you to make them?
Maybe not to clear that, but how much would you sell them for?
Would I sell them for? Like, this is dead honest. Like, the work you put in and the actual material, like, it's gonna be expensive. It's gonna be $2,000.
$2,000.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
But
I buy
one.
I buy them.
No, this is only.
No, for real. What I'm saying to you is, I will buy one.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
in town. Like, I need.
It would be
class. Like,
yeah.
This is sick. Like,
this
is what I mean. Like, you're nuts. Like, I love it. Like,
I'm only on prototype one. Like, but this thing is fucking savage.
Yeah.
And it's a bike.
Yeah.
Out of a bike, like.
Yeah. It's 55 kilometers an hour. Like, I was hitting the dual carriageway on the way home. I hit 54. And I wasn't pedaling. Like, you should have seen the cars. Like, you'd expect them to go, but these cars, like.
Yeah, but how are you? But is it? So you're going. Okay,
So
you're sitting on a bike.
Yeah, mountain bike. Yeah.
Just like a bike.
Yeah, but as a bike.
But do you
a little.
That's how you just accelerate, just like that.
Like a motorbike.
It's like a motorbike. And are the pedals solid now? You can't pedal.
No, you can pedal
as well.
Yeah.
So it can just be a normal bike as well?
Yeah.
So I can just yeet around town as well and then just go.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
How long does battery last on that thing right now?
On mine, now mine's very zooped up, like
25
kilometers range.
That's class.
But if I, like, prototype 2, 3, these are going to be 35 kilometer range.
Mm.
You know?
And okay, braking wise, just like,
oh, braking wise, I got disc brakes on these, so these guys will stop on a dime.
Like. I was thinking, like, if you left the fucking bike brakes on them and then put the
motor
on,
I
could see that.
It is 10:15.
Oh, loads of time. Yeah.
If any, that's off, because it dies after 30 minutes. No, but just switch back.
Yeah.
Wait, where do we lose it?
This.
Go for the other ones.
No, I'll keep them on the charger, but if I start making these and start selling them, like, you know, make a dozen, you know, and I sell them on, I need to register them, and then you start getting into the legalities of it. You're not allowed to go over 25.
On a bike?
25. Like,
kilometers an hour?
Miles.
Miles an hour, kilometers an hour?
I don't know. Miles.
Okay, but why? But because it's not a motorbike. Still, that's so fast.
It's considering what you're doing. Like,
all of these bikes on the market now, they can go 25, but then there's a little switch for off road, and you just use that when you're on road because who's going to be checking?
And that's what they do.
And that's you hit 55 then.
And you allow that?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That shit is so cool.
It is, isn't it? Like
you want to say about nuts people. You're nuts. You made a rocket ship out of a bike.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's so cool.
But the thing is, right? I like to surround myself with people like you because I think you're going to be successful. As in, like, you crazy work ethics. And, like, that's the sort of people I try and surround myself with because, like, I feel like in school, this is not dissing anyone's school, but like, I feel like so many people around me are so ordinary, just gonna go for ordinary lives. So like, you two, I have a feeling you're gonna do special things. And like, I just,
appreciate
I actually kind of, I feel like if I surround myself with people like that, it'll help me get there, you know? And I just, like, this is genuinely like, and like, there's a reason that like, three of us crazy fuckers started a YouTube channel. I was like we all have got shit fucked up, but like, you know, like, there's a reason we're up putting videos on the internet. Or like, you're more a videographer, where me and you, like, your analogy was fucking gas earlier. You went, like, when I watch your videos, I feel like I'm a monkey throwing shit at a computer.
Like, this guy, his editing skills, I was talking about that video. Go down and watch that video. Yeah. Honestly, when I watch that, I feel like a Neanderthal with a club coming.
Yeah, that's
what I feel like.
And the thing is, Jack doesn't even, like, he's fairly modest in the fact that he won't, like, rip the shit out of me, because I know my editing shit, but, like,
I can get the black bars to come down, that's my scenic shot. You know when
you,
like,
when
you put it in slow-mo?
Yeah.
And then you, sometimes I remember how to, like, cancel the sound. So
is this Wondershare? Filmora?
What?
Are you using Filmora?
Yeah. No, I'm using Sony Vegas.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Big stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I got it illegally on my laptop.
Yeah, so it's like, everyone,
yeah,
like,
yeah, has, like, yeah, ruined, yeah, like, it is all, my laptop has all the viruses.
Oh, really?
Like computer viruses and organic, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's HIV. Like, it's so fucked, like, you have no idea how fucked this is.
That's so funny.
The keys are, like, moist.
No, it's so bad, like.
Yeah, I know.
It, like, talks to me. It's like a clam. It's alive. I've created Frankenstein in my laptop. How many viruses are
there? Here, actually, just for context, because, like, if anyone, like, is just, like, randomly found this, what... Like, we just talk about, like, why we started YouTube. Just kind of, like, it's just kind of, like, because, like, we all have YouTube channels. I'll have them all linked down below. Just, like, anyone's, like, just organically listening to this. So maybe just talk a little bit about why you started.
I didn't start it for any particular reason. I just started it because it was fun, like.
Mm.
And it was just fun. And then I posted that first video with my brother in the summer. And that was the very first time I've ever tried this social media crack, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just fun, and it got 1,000 views in one night, like, and I was like, Jesus, this is crazy. Like, and then I started thinking about it more. And when I'm in school, that's all I think about, like, YouTube and all that crack. I don't really think about school, you know? So I have a lot of time to think about it. So I was like, geez, this is such a, if I can get good at this and 1,000 people are watching, that's a good bit of power.
Mm.
I can instill, like, some solid influence. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm just pushing the message of go have fun, like, we're young, nothing's holding you back. This is, like, the world is up for grabs. The world is up for grabs. That's what I'm trying to push.
Yeah.
And that's why I started YouTube.
That's so similar for me that my whole thing was I always felt like, it's like a very egotistical thing, but I always felt like I wanted attention, nearly, like, I wanted for in a good way, in the way I wanted to, like, have a message, if you know what I mean. And I've always had a message. I've always wanted people to be happy, and I always want people never to settle for stuff, if you know what I mean. And of course, my whole thing was wildlife conservation, so I was like, how can I get the message out there? And me being actually psychotic, I said, if I start a YouTube channel and I start doing, like, comedy skit videos, because I've done acting before and I really liked making people laugh, I was like, if I can get an audience, and I'm, like, pushing 10K now, and if I can get an audience, and then I can flip that and just change my whole, like, output from comedy sketch videos into, like, podcasts and informational videos, then I have the audience bought right there. That's what it is, because, like, people always, in the field that I want to go into, it's all, like, scientists, and they all have these great ideas, and they all sit in a room, and they all just talk about it. But that doesn't do shit. If you want to change the world, it has to be trendy. Everyone in the world has to be behind you. That's why there's great people like David Attenborough, Steve Irwin. These are one of the most famous people in the entire world.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit if you're the smartest man in the world, but if no one's listening to you, if you have no voice, who cares?
Yeah.
You're not going to change anything.
Yeah.
You have to reach 1 billion people, I'd say. If there's 7 billion people on this earth, you have to reach about 1 billion to make an impact.
That's
my goal. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. And, like, it's so good, like, I'm the same as the 2 years, and, like, I set it up that, like, I was looking around and going, like, people are just, like, drifting through life, not, like, taking it by the helm. So I was like, I want to start doing that myself. Why not document the journey? So, like, my whole thing is, like, get out of your comfort zone. I was like, just do shit that scares you, right? Because I think I watched Yes Theory, and I think they're unbelievable. Yeah. So my friend texted me April last year and went, do you want to do triathlon? I went, I was in good shape, but I wasn't in triathlon shape. I was like, fuck yeah. Two months. When did triathlon? Then I was like, okay, what else do I want to do? Skydive, on the bucket list. I literally organized a skit charity.
I cannot wait to skydive. You've inspired me to do
that. Yeah. Like, I literally was like, okay, like an email charity, can I do a skydive on behalf of the Galway Hospice? Great charity. Can I do a skydive on behalf of you? Perfect. Email skydive in place. They sent me out cards. I raised €520. And I went and did it. And like,
that's amazing.
And like, that was like, it was a thing. I became obsessed with it. Because I become very obsessive. When something gets in my mind, I need to achieve it. Like, it's just, so like, I went and did that skydive. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done. But like, once you jumped, you were like, this is crazy. As in like, you know, like, we're so small. As in like, everything gets put in perspective. This bullshit argument you had with your best friend. Like, as in like, it's so minute. As in like, in the scale of things, when you're jumping out of a plane and you're seeing kilometers everywhere. Or like, I know another perfect example is when kayaking around some cliffs and you see the strength of the water and you see the size of those cliffs and you're like, I am so small in this, you know, as in like the world's just a bigger place. And I think in our generation, everyone get wrapped up in their own world of, oh, it's all going wrong, you know, as in like, everyone gets wrapped up as in like, just like thinking about themselves. I don't know, because I feel like with the whole mental health, because like, mental health is obviously so important, but like, I feel like sometimes people just don't like you didn't need to take the windshield, or what are they called? You know, the visors off, and then you're like, oh shit, there's more to this.
No, that's what it is, because people, I'm so guilty of this myself.
Yeah.
Very recently, I've been so, like, honestly, when you think the world's gonna end, you think the world's gonna end, if you know what I mean. There's no one can tell you any different. And like, when you really realize, it always helped me recently that like, when I remember when I was back in Thailand, I was 6,000 miles away from all my problems. And it's like that, it shows you how small your community is, how small your life is, that none of this matters. Guess what? If you genuinely fucked up and it's your fault, if you fucked your best friend's girlfriend or killed your neighbor's dog or anything like that, whatever you did, if you're evil, if you move three towns over, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Everything
is gonna be okay.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Everything can be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It will be okay. And that's what I always found, that with mental health, it's been such a
trending topic.
It's very trendy. trending topic. But in the last 50 years, it's spiked dramatically. Like, so many more people have mental health problems. And thank God, for the first 19 years of my life, I didn't even know the definition of it, but I always respected it. I had close friends who were like, oh, I'm seeing someone for depression, anxiety, all this kind of stuff. And I'd always respect it, but I could never even imagine it. They're like, thank God, whatever happened to me, I'd never felt anxiety, even normal anxiety, like public speaking, playing a match. Yeah. I've never felt it. I was just happy. Fuck, I won't get into details, but the last 2 months, 4 months, that's where I've been gone. I've been in the darkest place I've ever been in my entire life. And thank God, it's not a chemical imbalance that it just suddenly triggered it. It was environmental that something happened in my life.
Yeah.
But when I felt like that, and like, I was like, I couldn't imagine someone having to do this for their entire teenage life.
Yeah.
That is not, like, I have such a, like, an appreciation for it, that when I feel good today, if you know what I mean, like, that's amazing. Like, I feel okay right now because we're talking, I was talking about this, but I know I am terrified to walk into town.
Yeah.
You have no idea. That's why I'm terrified to walk, because I'm going to be on my own. Because I'm still not over this, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's so scary. And I know, because it's something that happened in my life, it's not like a condition, that it'll be fine once I fix all this shit.
Yeah.
But like, it is so, I have such an appreciation for people that have go through that and have to go and talk to someone just to figure out what's going on in their head. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, it's nuts. And I always thought, I always had a theory about it, especially since I experienced it, and I always had this theory that because you never see, when they do tests on animals, in captivity, they will see signs of depression in apes and stuff like that, because, you know, they're housed. But in the wild, there's minute, like, I don't think it's really ever been recorded for depression or anxiety in any animals.
Yeah.
And that's because those gene pools are killed off thousands of years ago, because that animal that's not on his mind gets eaten by the leopard and that gets killed off, and that's what happens. But because humans have evolved so far that we're so protected, which is great, whatever, we've evolved amazing, that all the gene pools can come in and everyone can survive. And that's not a bad, that's an amazing thing, but that's why it's becoming so, that's why it's much more common, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with especially in Ireland, I was looking at the stats in Ireland and looked at the stats in the world, that Down syndrome and autism have steadily been increasing as the years go on.
Okay.
And 200 years ago, it was very uncommon. But now, it's quite, I'm not saying it's common, but it's very accepted and like it's a thing
that
happens. And that's because those genes, of course, would have been killed off primarily,
but they're no longer anymore.
And it's just the human condition. And it's nearly like a double-edged sword that we are getting so evolved.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and we're able to protect ourselves. That but by protecting ourselves, we're fucking with it so much that we're hurting ourselves.
Like almost devolving as a race, as a race.
Yeah, because we're not sharpening the pot like.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, like even.
I hit you a lot there. I'm sorry.
What was I saying? So we're in the long peace now.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any major wars or events that have killed a lot of people. That's not the best terminology, but we're in the long peace now. It's been like 60 years since
World War II.
Since World War II, and that was the last big world fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
So we're just all so like privileged, and we're all just so protected and stuff that I don't know. That
imagine living in the Western world we are. Like imagine 60 years ago. Imagine like living in a time where you're in London, you're in Ireland, you're in America, and war is going on, and you could get bombs dropped on you. What a time to live, if you know what I mean. Like, imagine like that. You think about like, oh, you're worried about school. No, I'm worried that I'm living in London, and I'm gonna get bombed, and I'm in London. I'm in the Western world. I'm gonna get bombed. Imagine having to think that.
I can't even wrap my head around that. It's not a reality I've ever had to even try.
But that's the reality for people that live in Syria and people that live in these Middle Eastern countries. They're at war.
Yeah.
The people drive by them in tanks going to school. Like, not even the poor areas. People, like, in the Middle East, places in Afghanistan that are very, like, well off, there's still army guys. They still have, like, bomb and, like, shelling drills so they know what to do. Yeah. And that's nuts, though. You know what I mean? Imagine living in that.
I can't.
I'm here complaining about this. Like, you know, I know everything's relative, if you know what I mean, and people's problems are relative to how you feel, if you know what I mean, but still though, that's such a thing to think, like
that's what I wrap my head around. Like, let's say like you're having a bad day, right, and you're like, oh, everything's going shit, but like I always come back, I don't like to ever ponder on it, because I'm like, there's people who are literally fighting for their lives right now. There's people who can't, no water, no food, like, we're so privileged. I don't understand why as a generation we should even be facing these sort of things. Like, I don't. Like, I this is something I want to bring up to psychology. I'm bringing psychologists on the podcast, that's the next episode. This is sort of stuff I want to ask her, because, like, I literally can't get my head around it. So I want to see if she has any clue, or, like, what sort of...
Because as I tell you, like, remember...
Yeah.
My answer to most of my problems is, at least I'm not living in World War II. And I'm 16, I'm sent off, I got drafted.
Yeah.
And I'm going, or I went to Nam. Like, I was drafted at 17 going to Nam. That is insane.
But don't you think going to Nam at 17, all that horrible, I'd hate to do that. I'm not a violent person or anything like that. But don't you think that people our age now, or just people in general, if you're 60 in this generation, or you're 10, whatever, how old are you, don't you think we're all kind of living a little bit comatose, that we're not... where everything's kind of chill, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of leveled off right now. Like, everything's kind of chill. Yeah. Go to work. Oh, this happened to me. Yeah. I'm sad. But we're not like, they were freaking prime. They're like, we're at fucking war. Yeah. I could get bombed, if you know what I mean. Like, or like, imagine living in Syria. Like, imagine how much like you, how wired you are, and it's a terrible thing to have.
Yeah,
but imagine
you're
like some guy could come in here right now and try and like shoot up this entire school in Syria, or we could get bombed, or you know, that kind of thing. Like, or like even living like in different, imagine living in like Detroit. Imagine when you walk to school, like you could get like properly like knifed and jumped, or caught in a crossfire with gangs, or like your house could get raided by a gang. Yeah. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Imagine living in that world, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd be so much more turned on to shit, like.
And I wonder what the like depression and anxiety rates are like in those areas. As in, like,
that's very, I'd love to know that.
That's actually really interesting, because I know, I listened to Joe Rogan before, and he was saying that like as we become like less and less like worried about our survival, that actually depression and anxiety rates have risen, because like There's no what is there actually, what are we worried about? Like, yeah. what is our purpose? You know, like, we're literally just drifting through. Most of us just drift through, like, you know, and then the minute things become worrying. You know?
That's exactly it.
So, like, I don't know, like I'd love to know that. That would be actually something.
That's a really interesting thing to think about.
Isn't it?
That's actually, I wonder. Because they probably just, and I said this, I mean, there was an utmost respect, because genuinely, for the past 3 months, I'm like, fuck it out, this has been dark, like. But it's nearly like, if you have other shit to worry about, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like,
we all get in our own heads a lot.
Yeah.
But I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago about this, like allergies.
Yeah.
Allergies. Were people allergic to peanut butter 60, 70 years ago?
Did you hear the podcast that Joe Rogan had lately with a doctor? They were talking exactly about this, right? So what they did was they did a study with pregnant women, right? So at one set, they gave the normal thing of don't give them any peanut butter, don't eat any peanuts. And the other one, they said, feed it away. And then when the baby was born, right, they were like, okay, obviously the first few months, they can't eat solid foods. But then start feeding the child peanuts and peanut butter, whatever. The ones that actually they didn't feed the peanut butter to and kept peanuts away, 17% of those babies had peanut allergies. The study where, or I mean the kind of group that they did feed peanuts to, 3% of those kids have peanut allergies. So
it's the exposure, your environment you're growing up into.
It's so weird.
Wait, was that a thing though? Was that a thing that you shouldn't eat peanuts when you're pregnant?
Pregnant in case your child is going to be allergic to it. Yeah.
Really?
Apparently that's a rule of thumb. Yeah, I think that's what doctors are actually.
Oh, as if like maybe the baby in your stomach is already allergic to it, then you're giving it peanuts.
And you give it and you kill it. Yeah. I think that was the thought process, which. I never even, like, it hadn't even crossed my mind, you know.
That's such an interesting point, like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting. Like,
I think people were definitely a lot tougher back then.
Oh, yeah. Way tougher. Wait, people were made of, if we, for person for person, if every, let's say started 16, if you had a 16-year-old from 50 years ago to fight a 16-year-old, from today, and you did that for every single age group, we lose so much.
I think the perfect example, and we talked about this earlier,
was we'll be the smartest.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that's like.
That's it.
Yeah. But we were talking about this earlier, right? Mike Tyson was on Joe. I know I keep bringing up Joe Rogan, but like, I spend a lot of time listening to it.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah. As you can see,
let's get it.
Powerful JRE.
Yeah.
But like, we're listening to this, right? Mike Tyson was on the Joe Rogan podcast, right? And Joe went, do your kids ever consider getting into boxing? You know, because obviously the dad's Mike Tyson. Mike started laughing and went, they go to private school, they go on holidays. Like, imagine them fighting a person like me. Like, he was doing cocaine at 10 years old.
That's what I mean. That doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
He was like, because the first thing he said on that podcast was, he was like, Joe goes, you did a lot of jokes when you were younger. And he goes, yeah, you know, Joe, like, you know when you're younger and your mom would give you, like, alcohol and weed when you're, like, 6 or 7 to make you go to sleep? That wasn't a joke. He just was saying that he thought that's what people do.
Yeah,
and
then
Joe was like, no. He's like, yeah, that's what mom's. And then he goes, well, then I started doing acid when I was older. And then Joe's like, that's a terrible Mike Tyson impression, but I mean, oh, how much older? And he was 11. And imagine, that crazy guy that was doing drugs since then, he got hypnotized to be a boxer, just to hurt people.
Yeah.
He's going through racism. He's living in the ghetto.
Imagine someone like that went to prison.
He bit someone's ear off. Like, imagine that guy fight some guy that went to, like, a secondary school in Athenry, but trains every day after school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he watched 2 Rob Lipsick motivational videos every day, and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Imagine, they're two totally
different. Those guys don't need motivation. No. Mike Tyson did not need motivation.
Subject to your environment.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
He was surviving, if you know what
I mean.
Yeah.
He was a killer. Like.
Yeah. Like, the picture, did you see when they brought up the picture of, he had a tiger. The great of a cub.
This
him.
Is the biggest dick energy I've ever seen in my
entire life. Super, super jacked. He had a fucking full-grown tiger. He had it on a chain. He was holding it. He was in
boxes. In his boxes.
Yeah.
In the tiger's
boots.
Then he looks at Joe and he goes, why
like, even he has no answer for it. Like, he was just so wrapped up in that world. Like, but like, we can't even contextualize how famous he is. Like, Joe can't even contextualize it. Because Joe's famous, but Mike Tyson, like,
he's
everyone.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, like Joe, I know Joe said it afterwards. He was like, I was sitting there talking to him, but 10% of my brain was going, that's Mike Tyson right in front of me. That's Mike Tyson right in front of me, you know. And like, he said, you don't get starstruck. Like, he said, he doesn't get starstruck by many people, but he said, like, there's just levels to it, you know, and like he's like the top of the food chain.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think McGregor would ever go on the JRE?
I don't know, like John Kavanagh's on, like, but Conor doesn't do many interviews, is the thing, you know.
But I think if he had beaten Khabib, he was going to go on.
Think so?
I really think so. I hate saying this, I've been the biggest Conor McGregor fanboy my entire life, and I love MMA more than anything, but I don't know if he's the same guy, and that's the first time I've ever questioned it. I don't know if he's the same psychotic, I'm going to win.
Because he's a dad now.
He's two kids. Literally a multi hundreds of millionaires, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's so much money. He doesn't have to. Like, no one wants to wake up and get punched in the face every day.
Did you read the article that came out about the possibility of a very famous Irish athlete raping some girl in Dublin? Did you read that?
No.
Yeah. So this is all very speculative at the moment. No,
it's a podcast. We don't know if it's true. But
we're just discussing something I read and I've heard from a couple different sources, but. So, this is in December. Now, this is like I've written in the papers and stuff. A very famous Irish athlete was out with his gang, and they went partying.
Who was it?
Like, they say it's McGregor. So, like, so he was out doing coke with his boys.
Are you going for a piss?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, he was doing coke with his boys.
How did this not get traction?
I think there's a lot of lawyers involved.
No, but like traction isn't like. As in, like, it doesn't matter. Like, how did that not get, like, not even just MMA news, but how was that not around the world, like?
I don't know. It was kept very hush-hush.
But if it was in the papers.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, if once that got out anywhere, that should have been everywhere.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, it's still being kept very quiet. Like, as in, like, because I heard about it, and they're, like, very famous Irish athlete. I know some people that were actually out in Dublin that night, and McGregor was out and around. But the story goes.
Also, it's not confirmed to be McGregor.
Like, he handed himself in. He brought his lawyer down to the Garda station the day after this happened. And the guards were like, no, we don't have enough information yet. I'm like, he went down with his lawyer down to Blackrock Garda station the day after this happened. So, like, so basically, he's with these girls. Like, these girls come up and, I don't know. She was saying that, like, her boyfriend's, like, friends with his sister's boyfriend. And he was like, oh, I'll see you later on. Like, kind of that sort of crack. And she was like, no, get away from me. And she slaps him, and then they're at a party later on, and story goes that he raped her, and like very badly, like as in like bruises all over, like bloodied up. Like, now this is only something I read. Now these are like very, very speculative, and this could be completely, yeah, no. And apparently he's been, like, I saw a video of him walking out of a crack house, like as in like, and they're saying that, like, you know, like when the Bellator jumped the cage, he was high on cocaine. When he did the thing in New York, he was on drugs, you know, like, and then, you know, after the Khabib fight, he went on an absolute bender, you know, and he's been associating himself with Kinahan crime gang as well, like, as in, like, it's...
Oh, I hope he doesn't go down the drain. If that's true...
And, like, it's totally, like, I'm not speaking for facts, this could be completely wrong, right?
Then, like, this, he could be completely innocent.
Yeah.
Of course. But, genuinely, if that's true, I would actually despise that man.
Yeah.
Like, everything that I thought he stood for, he does not stand for.
Yeah, the fact that, like, he had the same girlfriend since he was, like, some of the qualities I really felt, like, maybe like McGregor was, like, he worked hard, came a rough area, had the same girlfriend, she stood by him, he stood by her, and the fact that, like, apparently he's going sleeping with, like, numerous girls around Dublin, you know, apparently Dee was nearly going about to break it off, like, that's, like, this is, like, a really, like, high tension sort of thing is what it's been built up, but I know it's not looking... He always has food with him, yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping it's not true. Because genuine, actually, the Nevada hearings next Tuesday for him and Khabib and John Jones.
I don't.
I hope it's not true.
That's ruined my mind. I didn't mean that.
No, just that McGregor is legend. Legend. So, like, not confirmed anything yet. Like, that's. But the day after.
Do you have one? I have a little bit. Thank you, man.
No, granted, I have a lot of food in my bag. It's something I've been meaning to, like, I don't have any MMA friends, so, like, I can't actually talk to them. That's why I've been waiting to actually get that information out. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no.
I'm the last person to shit on anyone.
Yeah.
But if that is true, he's the scum of the earth. He's the worst human being. I would hate him. But we don't know if it's true.
What the fuck is stopping him, though?
Yeah.
Look what he's done.
Yeah.
If you're in an environment, if you're hundreds of millions of dollars in your account and you have a very successful career,
You're literally in the Hall of Legends. Is that a thing?
You're in the
Hall of Legends. A couple of like girls are not gonna stop you.
No, but I mean.
Yeah, he's someone with morals, as in like the things McGregor stood for, and the reason we both like I'm a massive McGregor fan as well, like as in like I would never like hide that, but like if that was all just kind of a facade and that all went out the window, I can understand what you're saying, like he's in a totally different mindset, but like it changed my perspective of him.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'll say it straight up. Whatever. It is a human predisposition. Money just ruins people. Like, you might think you're having fun with drugs and like sleeping with girls.
Yeah.
Amazing. You probably have the best fucking time of your life. But you need, as a human, as a Homo sapien, what you need is a dwelling, someone to protect, like a wife or whatever, and a family. And that's what you need to do. That's like the whole thing. And that's why there's so many professional sports stars that have done so well, because they've kept that and they know that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying right now is I don't give a shit about all that. Connor can go do as much drugs as he wants, and he can sleep with as many girls as he wants, break up and he have fun. But if he raped someone, he's the worst human being on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how great you think you are. You're still 5'9" from Crumlin.
Yeah.
That's all you are, like.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm 6 foot tall. I'm from America. That's just what you. That is where that human's from. That is what he's built. That's just he. That he's just a human.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. Mm. After. But like, the thing is, now I know Mike Tyson's a lot more removed from this. But didn't he rape a girl as well? Like it's.
I didn't know. I thought he was just cheated or something. I didn't know he raped. That's batshit.
Yeah, and very graphic detail.
I don't want
to get. I'm not gonna because I read them and I didn't even want like.
Was he even putting this in?
No, this is McGregor one. Like
are
very.
Are you putting this in?
Oh yeah, like this is going in. Yeah, right. But like this is like no, this is all free flowing, but very graphic and like horror. Like if that is true, it's horrible. It's.
Is this what viewers want to be listened to? Like.
It's a podcast, like you know.
No, I have this theory that. Now, Connor, I don't want to get into. I don't know. I don't have the context, so I'm not. Gonna throw an opinion on that, but like Arnold Schwarzenegger, absolute boss.
Yeah,
you know, absolute boss, 100%. Movies.
Mayor.
I don't know the exact, but like, what was he? The mayor of California. Mayor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Governor or something.
Governor of California. California is the most powerful state in America, and it's. Isn't it?
Yeah, we
well, I mean, it's a lot of influence with Washington is probably the most powerful state, but I'd say it's a huge state. I mean, they have all the celebrities, everything.
And then
like
they have the electoral votes.
Yeah.
They have the most electoral votes.
Yeah.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger is an incredible man. He's done incredible things. And then he went off and he slept with a couple of, like, girls, you know?
Mm.
But, like, when you're in that mindset, you've been that successful. What will a couple of girls do to your career? Like, and one, I don't know who it was, but one of them like nearly ended his career.
Yeah.
What was? Do you know?
Oh yeah. What? No. See, the story was Bill Burr always talks about. He has actually a comedy sketch about it, and it's really funny. That when people like Arnold Schwarzenegger cheat, it's kind of like Bill Burr,
comedian,
legend.
Yeah, so he always says that like. Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger came from the depths of Austria, from a poor family. They didn't even enough money to like have like the proper nutrition to be strong. Becomes Mr. fucking Universe.
Mr. Olympia.
And then he's Mr. Olympia. He's talked out of the side of his mouth and he slurs his words and he says he's going to become an actor. Becomes the most world famous actor. Says he's going to become the mayor of California with no governmental experience.
Yeah.
Well, made up a word there. Governmental. And then he does that. He's been on a roll since the day he was born.
Yeah,
this
is
the joke that Bill Burr says. Like, of course he was going to try and cheat. That's the whole thing. And thought he was going to get away with it. But that's the whole thing. My whole mindset on it, my whole opinion on it is people... Oh, did it die?
Is this free flow 100%?
Oh, I'm not cutting this up at all.
Oh, we have the thing anyways here.
Yeah, our audio is going to keep going anyway, so...
And my whole mindset is there's... When you really feel it as well, this is so important. Like, when you really feel... I feel bad for someone that could cheat. I don't feel... I'm not. If someone did it to me, I'd be really angry. But I feel bad for those people because when you actually care about someone, like when you really do, like when you actually really do, money doesn't matter. Like no, there's no, it doesn't matter. Like it's so hard to describe, but when you actually care about someone, there's no way on earth that it would even cross your mind to ever cheat. Like it's such a primal thing that when you actually have that connection with someone, you would never do it. You'd move the world for them. Like.
Yeah.
And it's such a normal thing to say, but you would genuinely move the entire earth for that person. Mm. Like you would do anything. You'd do the most ridiculous, stupid things for that person. And for Arnold Schwarzenegger, McGregor, whoever these people are, it's not because they have money. They were normal people. They may not have found the right person that they thought. Like, Connor might think he's in love with Dee Devlin, but he hasn't found that person. And hopefully there is a person out there for Connor.
Hmm.
And, like, let's say, obviously, hopefully fucking not, if all that stuff is true.
Hmm.
That was a bad example for, let's say, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But if you do that, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, that does not matter. If you do that, you're not with the right person. You should never go back, because you're literally settling.
Yeah, no, totally agree. No, it's, yeah, but like, I wonder what the psychology is like of the person that, like, you know, when you're sort of those sort of people and you have your gang around you, like,
yeah,
constantly, yes men.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't, like, I like you see a lot of them fall off the rails when they get, like, super famous, or like a lot of the Disney stars is a great example of them just falling off the rails, going crazy, doing a load of drugs for a couple of years, then coming back. You'd wonder, like, we're not supposed to hear yes all the time. We're not supposed to let, like I have some stupid ideas, and sometimes I need to be told, no, Dara, shut up, and just, like, you need to cop on and say, we're both all the same. But I wonder what it's like, and what effect that has on a human when the world is, like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, there's no. Like, yeah. Like, your gang's vocabulary, it's not in it. You know, they're like, whatever you think, yes. I wonder what...
I'd say it's very unhealthy. I'd say it's like, when people say... Because let's say when people do heroin, it messes up their responses that, like, nothing ever feels good again. Like, food all tastes like shit just because it feels so amazing, apparently.
Yeah.
You can't even have emotions how bad it does to you. I'd say on a lower level, that's probably what it does to you.
Yeah.
That, like, there's no excitement. There's no, like, oh, I want a private jet. Yeah, sound. That's like saying, I want a coffee. If you don't, so, like, you have no recollection of what actually makes you feel good because everything is okay. And, like, if you're like denied things, if you're denied things and you get shit, then it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but,
when you can't get something and you have to work for it, how good does that feel when you finally get that thing? You know?
Oh, no.
Like that's a really good feeling. And, like, I know.
Is it, though? Because I spent, like, 4 months building this e-bike.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed building it so much more than I enjoy actually using it.
No way. Really?
But, like, now, when I'm actually using it and I'm hitting 54 on that dual carriageway, unbelievable. I'm screaming. Like, if you're driving past, you can see me going, ah! You know, like, this shit is unbelievable. But building it, seeing the process, spraying it, everything, I think the process, now, we're always quoting Gary Vee, but he is the shit.
Yeah,
100%. Like, absolute gentleman, and what a leader, what a person to look up to. But he says, if you love the process, nothing will stop you. I love the process. The end product is just...
Oh, no, you have to love the process. You have to love what you're doing. But loving what you're doing, it was still difficult what you were doing. That's why you love the process.
Yeah.
Saying, I want this, and getting it is not a process.
Mm. No.
It's a very short process.
Yeah.
It is a process. But, like, a process of actually working, and then you're working something you like, that's the process.
But I never want to get to a stage where... If I ask for something, I'll just get it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because that's just obviously what ruins people.
Yeah. You know? And people have to realize that, like, the concept of money and all that stuff, it's actually horrible. It's what destroys people. Like,
it's what money opens you up to.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily money.
But even itself. It's even what it does. It captures people because, like, this stuff that's made, money, this currency, it's what keeps the whole world in line. Like, it stops people doing what they want to do. It's like, all right, you have to go to school because then you won't get a job and you won't get any money.
Mm.
Oh, no, you have to go to work because you need money. You know what I mean? Like, you need this. Like, you know, what are you doing? You need to get this. You need to work this job because it gives you more of this stuff than this stuff. Like, imagine if it was rocks, if you know what I mean? Like, just because it's money, we're so used to it. But imagine every time you worked, you got, like, yellow rocks. You know what I mean? Like, it's an item
same
of thing,
thing
that you're working to. You want. Like, you can't eat it.
Yeah.
I can't plant it. I can't do anything with this. I can't build a house with this.
Yeah.
It's just the shit that I look at. And then I can give it to other people because other people want it.
Yeah.
And they give me shit for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I have this. But oh, no, but I spent a lot of my money for this. Is this worth it? I'll sell it. I have more money then. You know, it's weird.
Absolutely.
I just think if you can have like a connection, if you can have a connection with something or someone that's like to you is the strongest thing in the whole world, that's the goal of life. That's how you're happy, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
That like when you think when you're 6 years old that you will literally do anything for this or that person, then you will completely be content.
Yeah.
Like I can say that like 100% justifiably, I can 100% say that I've been with people that I would give it all up. I would say I would be happily spend the rest of my life cheering you on. Like happily. And you cannot comprehend what that feeling feels like. How passionate I am about this. I would say, fuck it. I'll kill a seal in front of you for that person.
Yeah.
You know
what
I
mean? Yeah.
And that is what life is about.
Mm.
And like when you feel that for the first time, it's like it's nearly like a drug that you just wanted more, if you know what I mean. Like you would do the most ridiculous thing, but they're not ridiculous things. Like it's like it's such a thing, like let's say I remember going on a first date with this person where all of the money I have in my bank account, everything I own, I just got paid, I'd only been working like 3 days. I had 72 euro on my account. 72 euro on my account. I go, I spend 15 euro on that when we went for a coffee, yeah?
Mm.
And then like a few days later spent all the money I have in the world on a Christmas present, but like that's all of my money. I have no other money. But you don't think about it because it's all you care about. You would you fuck your business, man. Your business is shit when you find that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she says, I don't like business, I want to go live in the woods for the rest of my life, you would say, fuck
we're gonna do
that.
Let's pack her shit up and
you
go.
Know, if she says, I want to go beat Gary Vee to death with my bare hands, you're like, let's get this. That is what life is about.
Yeah.
That is what is needed. And when you find that, and then it goes, that will ruin you.
Yeah.
That will absolutely ruin you. And it's like, it's so scary. But that is my thing about life. That's why I don't care about money. That's why I don't care. Like, once you have your passion and your person, it's the two pieces. If you have your passion and you have your person, that's all that matters. That's all that matters to me my entire life. Everything else, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. That's why I have so little time for people that they're like, well, yeah, I'm texting this person, and like, you know, well, we got with each other a few times, but I kind of want to get with this person too. I'm like, no, you don't like them. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's my thing, if you know what I mean. Like, and that's why I'm so sure with people sometimes when they try to talk to me about this stuff. It's like, this stuff's not real. Like, just stop messing around. Stop faking it. Like,
a few of my friends are in relationships, and like, what I always say to them is, I'm like, okay, you're going to marry this person. They're like, whoa, let's take it easy. Let's take it easy. I'm like, well, like, you're either going to break up with them or you're going to end up marrying them.
Yes, that's it. You should not be with a person unless if that question is asked you and you're like, yeah, I'll marry them.
Yeah.
I'll marry them in the morning.
Like that's my opinion.
It doesn't matter how old you are as well.
Yeah.
And oh my God. Yeah. Ooh, when I was younger, I used to get so many arguments with like my friends, parents, stuff. It does not matter how old someone is. Do not question how they feel about someone. Do not say they are too young to understand. Because they are. The younger you are, the better you understand because you're less of a cloud of vision. You actually can think purely. You never say to someone that's they're 13, oh no, that's not serious. Oh, sure, you only went out when you were 13. Or that's not serious. You were only interested in doing that when you were 13. No, when you're that young, that is when you have your clearest, like, proper thoughts.
Yeah.
That's when you know what's important.
There's no reason to be.
You have no fear.
Yeah.
And that's why I never shit on people that are young or old or that kind of stuff because they're the people that really get what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The only thing I have, and like I'd be slightly concerned about in young relationships, and I've kind of been, there's a perfect good documentary. It's actually a comedy special called Jigsaw by I can't remember his name. Basically, at the very end, he's ended up on 12,000 relationships, marriages, engagements, just by the end of his comedy special. Right, you need to go watch it. Very funny, all the rest of it.
Yeah,
grab the audio, keep going. Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll finish up after this.
Yeah.
Basically what he says is, most people get into relationships because they don't feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
They need someone else to be their cheerleader and go, you're great, keep going.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is, how about you learn to love yourself first and like fully, like be comfortable as a human in yourself and that person will compliment you, you know?
No, that's it. That's what you need to be, especially when I'm with someone, I will think that person is literally God. That person is God, but I expect nothing less of that person that thinks that I am God. Because I think, like you, I'm very happy in myself. I'm a happy person. I'm confident in myself. And that's the type that you can only be in a relationship when you're like that.
Yeah.
You need to have complete, like, I respect you so much. I think you are the greatest thing on earth, and you think I'm the greatest thing on earth, and that's all that matters. And fuck everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally it. Like you can't go into a relationship fucked, broken. If you know what I mean, you have to be in a right mind.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
That's thinking. Why I think I'm totally dodging relationships with someone, because I'm still trying to figure out myself first. And I'm like, I'd be looking too much for that person to give me gratification. Like, oh, you're doing good. You keep going.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be at a stage in myself where I'm happy enough myself that I don't need that person cheerleading me, but like we're gonna compliment each other, like you said. Like,
yeah.
I still think they're the greatest person on earth, but I don't.
You don't need them. You're not gonna collapse if no. You don't need that compliment. You're not gonna.
Yeah.
You have faith that what you're doing in your life.
Yeah.
Is good
in yourself.
Know, yeah.
In
yourself.
But do you not think? Do you not think you need each other to kind of build each other and teach each other and work off
of course.
Each other.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why would you be going into a relationship as an unfinished product? Because first of all, we're never going to be finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go into a relationship broken, she or he or whatever can teach you how to be good.
Yeah. No.
That's,
yeah.
That's a very patient person that's needed. That's
Yeah.
That can be dangerous,
but
it's a good person.
Do you not think? Love can kind of grow on someone.
Yeah.
Because you can start off in a relationship, oh yeah, it's good, I like her a lot, but love is a big word or whatever.
Yeah.
But over time, it's instant connection. Jesus, sorry. Lost my train of thought now.
As in you're saying, like, love is a big word.
Love is a big word, but like if you see that person, and you say, I will do anything for you.
Yeah.
100%, I will give up my life for you.
Yeah.
Can that not be grown?
Oh, it can. It can.
Yeah,
I
think.
I just, I've noticed a trend, and like I like looking at like human behavior, right? A lot of people I know who hop in and out of relationships, and like I know them at a really good personal level, they are so unhappy in themselves that they need that person there to go, it's going to be good, you're going to be all right. As in like they haven't... They're not comfortable enough to sit by themselves in a room and actually feel their emotions. They need someone else there to be like, no, you're doing great. Oh, no, you look lovely today.
Yeah,
you know, they're looking for those compliments. They want someone there. They just
need a body.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
That's basically what they're
looking for a body.
Now, and if you both go into the relationship for the right reasons, and yes, you can grow together, learn from each other. Like, obviously, there's going to be lessons learned in a relationship about giving and taking. And
yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to have it all your own way. But, like...
But, you know, it is... I think that is the one thing that... I know for a fact that it's like, I imagine it to be a substance that it can be grown. It can. Like, you can hang out with someone and it can be grown 100%. But I do believe that we all have something inside of us. I don't know what it is. If I split myself up, would it come out? Or is it just in my mind? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
That you have something and it's all different species of something, whatever's in your body. Which is a good way to describe it. And if you find someone that has... the same species of whatever the shit that's in your body, you can nearly feel it. And you're like, we have
Without
to be fucking
to
closer
yeah,
together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, like you once you meet them, you're like, you hear them talk and you're like, we need to be closer to get even the shit that's whatever it is inside
of
us, that you need to be close to them. And like even after like a day of being around them, you would do anything for them. And like when you said, oh, I'll do anything for you, think about what that means.
Yeah.
Really think about that before you say that. Anything. Oh, babe, I'd run to the bus station with you in the rain and I'd give you 50 euro for the bus when you didn't have money, or I'd pay your rent. That's not doing anything.
Yeah.
That's not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's not. That's not, that's being sound to someone you like.
Hmm.
There's levels to that.
All right.
And it's very like, it's a weird thing. It's such a weird thing. And I think it's so interesting. You know what I mean? Like, that people will just disregard everything. For this thing that's not even a substance, and I love that.
Yeah.
I really love that. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah. No.
I haven't experienced that, so I wouldn't know. But
yeah,
they're
right.
Sounds pretty.
Yeah.
Good.
No.
Yeah.
But like again, like what? 16, 17. You're 19. Like
yeah.
as in like we're 16%, 17%, 19% of the way through. We still have so much to learn. And but like, I've never felt that.
Yeah.
So like, but yeah, if I ever got into a relationship, I'd want not want, but like. I'd be looking for that thing where I'd be comfortable myself, but I'd do anything for that person, you know? And like, if someone asks that question, would you marry them? Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm not looking for, we'll see how it goes. You know, as in like,
It's confidence in the person that you never think that you're never worried about that person in the way that like it's like you know they feel that way about you.
Yeah.
That's where
it is. Yeah. Right, this is about to die anyway, so we'll call it quits there. Right, thank you all very much for listening. Thanks, lads, for coming on the podcast.
No problem, Darren.
I really enjoyed it.
Pleasure.
And, yeah, we'll see you next week. Good night, relive.